Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to yet another episode of the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Ryan Michaels here with your boy, Chip Dannon.
What a dope.
Eagles draft. And you know what? It surprisingly went well.
Yeah, they're
I don't have a complaint.
Yeah.
I just don't know much about Jalix Hunt, but he went to Houston Christian, so I wouldn't know anything about him.
Yeah, a lot of people don't, if I'm being honest. I mean, I don't really either, to be honest. I mean, I looked him up a little bit. But it's nice not having to complain. Now, we'll complain about other stuff shortly. But, yeah, it's nice to have something go well for once. So,
yeah, I mean, we'll go through all the picks. And, Chip, it's your tip of the cap, so you can go ahead and analyze them.
I will do my best.
Yeah, that's I think this went about as well as it could have.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think Howie did a nice job. You know, obviously plugging up some holes that we needed, and also, you know, securing picks for next year as well. We got, you know, three picks for next year.
Because we're not going to have them for next year.
Right. So we're going to get them all.
I was going to take them away, probably.
Yeah, so that happened. But, yeah, he loaded up on some picks next year, which is good. He got some good players to come in. You know, some need development more than others. But, again, plug some holes that we needed, and I'm really happy with it.
Then the Sixers.
Yeah.
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 Anyway, Phillies.
It was a good run.
They play tonight. We're recording at 6:57, and they are going to be playing through it. So we're not really going to talk much about them because we won't know.
Right, and they're probably going to lose.
I have a prediction.
Okay. Oh, God.
They're going to absolutely curb stomp them tonight.
Oh.
And then come back home. And then lose embarrassingly.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I've seen this happen too many times to not have a feeling.
Yeah.
So it's one or the other, Chip. It's either what you said, where they're going to lose here, or it's going to be what I said. There's no in-between, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, we're actually not used to this position, because usually we're up in the series, and then we blow it at the end. We're down in the series.
Yeah, we're down in the series.
And, you know, hey, anything can happen, but it's
the pessimist
not...
in me. I don't want to count them out, but the pessimist in me does.
Yeah, so no, I am. The pessimist, the you know.
Absolutely jaded Sixers fan, yes.
Yeah. You know, the part of me that would absolutely die for this team, yeah, no, I'm out. I'm sorry. It's just not, it's not going to happen. So that's where I'm at.
I'm teetering on the edge of madness tonight. So you're either going to get an absolutely fire ramble out of me, or you're not going to get that. But I'm teetering there. So, Chip, if you poke and prod, it's coming.
Jury's out. We'll see.
The Phillies.
Same
pretty
deal.
Good.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
They play pretty well, yeah.
And by pretty good, I mean they suck.
Yeah, the worst team in baseball.
They're the worst team in baseball. They're absolutely horrendous.
Terrible.
Starting rotation, horrible. Lineup, horrible. Alec Bohm is the worst. Like, guy gets up there and it's like so bad. Like, super bad.
Trey Turner sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. They all suck. Whole team. Nick Cassianos is the best player in the world, though.
Yeah, super dude. He is
he's unbelievable.
Best player.
Just I mean, can't not get out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. Like he's just so good that he's not on base.
Right. I mean,
right.
Like ever.
Yeah.
Like you don't even see him out there.
Right. He's so quick that he's invisible on the bases.
Right.
If you don't know what we're doing by now, and you haven't been listening to us for a long time,
catch up.
Catch up. Or you'll understand later.
Yeah.
But yeah, with that, I have nothing left. What you say, Chippy?
Let's cue the rock music.
You're listening to a Philly Sports Nation production,
enhancing your Philly sports experience.
Let's get in a huddle and talk some post-draft birds.
Go birds.
Go birds. Go birds. All right. I'm going to hit you with the pick. You hit me with the analysis. You ready for it?
Let's do it.
With the 22nd pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles selected Kenyon Mitchell. How, first off, and second off, why did the Falcons take Michael Penix? Sorry, that was really off topic, but it's still bothering me.
Yeah, no, I'm just as confused, man. Really.
Okay, at least I'm not the only one, because I still can't wrap my head around that. It's like, yo, guys, I have a great idea. Let's sign Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million contract, then draft a 24-year-old quarterback with the 8th pick.
With injury concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't get it. They had other needs, especially on defense. Yeah, I don't get it, man. I mean, he's not going to play. I mean, the GM even came out and said he's not going to play for, what, 4 or 5 years? And by the time, he'll be, what, 29, 30 at that point? You know, it's not a huge deal for a quarterback, but still. I mean, this guy played 5 years in college. 4 of those seasons ended with injuries. And big-time injuries, not nothing like, you know, not small injuries. These are big injuries. You know. This past year was his 5th year, you know, played really well, you know, that's great. But, I mean, there was a lot of people that didn't even have him in the first round, and you take him at 8 when, like you said, they paid another quarterback, Kirk Cousins, 4 years, 100, whatever, $80 million. Just made zero sense to me. So, but hey, not a Falcons fan, you know, sorry, Atlanta. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say.
Well, back to Eagles news here.
But yeah, Eagles. Yeah, Quinion Mitchell, don't know how he was there. He was the first cornerback taken off the board. Cornerbacks really fell for whatever reason. So, I mean, that's great. You know, the quarterbacks going probably helped in that matter, but you didn't see a defensive player go till 15 overall. So, you know.
Which is wild.
It is wild. I mean, offense really took a precedent in this draft. And yeah, the Eagles were able to, you know, stick there. They didn't have to trade up, which a lot of people thought they might have had to do. I had them trading up in my last mock before the draft. So they were able to stick and pick, and they got, in my opinion, the best corner in the draft. You know, it's something they needed. It's something, you know, Howie doesn't usually do, but he realized, hey, you know, we were really, really bad in the secondary and we need to address it. And he did. So, love the pick, love the player. Was my CB1. And, yeah, I think it's awesome.
So let's hear a little bit about him. I know he's out of Toledo, which was the big concern, but why should people not be concerned?
Well, I think he has NFL size. He has, you know, he's a really, really good athlete. I mean, he ran a 4.33 at the combine. Has great, like I said, great size. And he played really, really well at the Senior Bowl against really good talent. So, you know, it coming from a small school, isn't really a huge deal for corners if you have the size, the speed, the athleticism like he does. You know, if it's a quarterback, maybe it's different. It might take, you know, a year or two for you to develop if you're a quarterback, but if you're a corner, I think it'll take much less time for him to adjust, if any time. I think he's a great player, and I think he has CB1 potential in the NFL. And I think when Slay calls it a career, he could definitely slide into the CB1 role pretty easily.
Well, that's actually pretty solid. Yeah, I mean, again, coming out of the MAC, you're not seeing the same competition as guys from the SEC, for example, but as long as he has the size and the speed to make up for it, I really don't think it's going to be a problem. I also think that he's a rookie with Slay standing there. I mean, look, I'm not going to say much about James Bradbury, but I assume that they're going to start them.
Yeah.
Playing time might be a little bit more scarce than one would think for a first-round corner, but, hey, definitely going to get out there.
Yeah, well, I think once Bradbury, gets burned, which he will do, then you put Mitchell in there, you'll be fine.
All right, then we move on. And via trade with the Commanders, with the 40th pick of the second round, the Eagles select cornerback out of Iowa, Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, dude. Great pick.
Dude, I was telling you the whole week leading up to the draft, dude, I keep talking myself into this guy. I keep watching his highlights. Dude, I want him. And then they drafted Mitchell, and I was like, probably not. Oh, well. And then this happens, and I called you like a little schoolboy. Like, yeah, they did it. Yep. They did it.
Yeah. There was a lot of people, you included, that had him going in the first. And I mean, I had him going in the first. I didn't, in my mock, I had him going a little bit later to, I think it was the Packers or something. But he should have been a first round pick. He really should have been. I don't know why he dropped out of the first.
Maybe it was six quarterbacks going in the first round.
Six quarterbacks. Yeah, that definitely helped. And again, defensive player didn't go till 15 overall, so that may have played a factor as well. But yeah,
this pick, the value is astronomical. Oh,
it's phenomenal. Yeah, I think. I mean, Howie, if you watch the video, Howie said it to him on his call. He was like, "Yeah, we wanted you in the first." So, I think it's phenomenal value. I have no problem with the trade up at all. Again, your secondary was horrible last year. He's not going to come in and be your outside corner, but he can come in and play safety right away. He can come in and play nickel right away.
He can come in and punt return right away.
He can punt return. Yeah. He can punt return as well. So
look, I think that that's the reason why he is such a valuable pick. And I mean, looking at the Eagles injury history, for example, I think that he is going to get ample playing time this year because of that versatility. I think that he could play cornerback. I think that he could be at any one of those positions. But I think that he's going to play where most needed next year. Yes. I mean, obviously, Mitchell's going to play. He was the first pick. I think that he has the most talent out of the draft at cornerbacks. But let's say, God forbid, something happens to one of the safeties. Yeah, that's where he goes.
Yeah, I think he immediately comes in and is your starter at nickel.
I think so.
Yeah, I do. I do. I know they brought back Maddox, but he didn't have a great year last year. I mean, they cut him for a reason, but they brought him back for a contract.
That's what I was thinking. I thought they would start Maddox there, but.
But okay. No, talk to me. Yeah, no, I do think he comes in right away as your starting nickel. I really do. I think he has. I mean, obviously, he has way more upside than Maddox. I think right now he's probably a better player than Maddox is. So yeah, I think your secondary next year could look like Slay CB1, CB2 is Mitchell, maybe Bradbury at first, but then again he'll get burnt, just trust me. But then Mitchell CB2, your nickel is DeJean, and then your safeties are Blankenship and Gardner Johnson. I think that could be your secondary next year.
James, if you're ever listening to this podcast, all you have to do to not get that criticism.
Oh yeah.
Just like any other Philadelphia athlete, is prove us wrong, and it turns just like that.
That's all you gotta do.
And if you're really good for 8 straight games and let up one, we're not going to say much.
Yep.
But if it's every game,
like last year.
Well, moving on.
I mean, let's be honest, James.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, James, you were terrible last year, if you are listening.
There's no denying that.
But anyway.
Anywho. In the fourth round with pick 127, in the third round, I skipped one. With pick 94, Jalix Hunt, an edge out of Houston Christian. I didn't know anything about this guy.
So, yeah, I didn't know much either. I knew his name. I knew that he was another small school guy. Didn't know much about him. The only thing I knew about him was he had NFL size again and is a really good athlete.
Yeah, I mean, with Mitchell, there was rumors that he was going to transfer out, but he decided not to. It just stayed
right
what he's in. But like with Hunt, I just had no idea. Like I couldn't even tell you what conference he played in.
Yeah, I don't know what Houston Christian is in. I don't even know. I guess it's Division I, but I don't know if it.
It is Division I, but like I don't know.
Yeah. But again, has NFL size. Again, really good athlete. Just needs to be coached up. And I think they can. I think we've seen guys come in here and develop. I mean, look at Josh Sweat. Didn't have a great year last year, but has developed into a really nice pass rusher. So again, if you can develop him. Could be a, just another piece of the puzzle. Again, they love to rotate guys in and keep guys fresh. So adding more guys in there, probably won't see a lot of playing time his rookie year. But again, if you can develop him, you can definitely, he could definitely be a really, really good player for you.
Round four, pick number 127, Will Shipley, running back out of Clemson.
Yeah, there were some people that really – so there were some people that I saw that had him as RB1 in his class. I heard a little bit about him. Again, did my research on him. Kind of just like, they use the quote scat back, which is like kind of like a change of pace, can catch the ball out of the backfield, gives you something different. And that's probably what he's going to do right away. I think Kenny Gainwell had his ups and downs last year. I think Shipley could definitely overtake him on the depth chart, and he could definitely be RB2 for us. So obviously Barkley's going to be RB1, but maybe on third downs or on passing downs or just a change of look could get him out there and give you something different. I don't have any problem with this one. I mean, it's a fourth rounder, so. And they need depth. They need depth at running back anyway, so. He's a good player.
With fifth round, pick number 152, wide receiver out of Texas A&M, Anaya Smith.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. Only about 5'9". But offers you a ton of versatility on offense. Kind of think like, I'm not saying he's, Deebo Samuel, but think of like a Deebo Samuel type role where he can just really do anything. You can hand the ball off to him. He can line up in the slot, obviously. Probably not going to line up outside, but that's fine. We don't need him to do that. Just, offers you versatility, good athlete. Another guy could be a kick returner / punt returner for you as well. Just kind of like a, what's the word? Not change of pace, but like, just think of what Deebo Samuel does for the 49ers. He does really everything for them. But just like a,
he has a variable factor to him where you don't know what's coming. He could just be used in so many different ways. I got you.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people say that he could end up being our slot guy for the future as well.
That's great.
So
sure hope so. With the fifth round pick number 155, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker out of Clemson.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one everyone loves.
Well, it's a fifth round pick. Let's not be so sad about it, Chip. Jeez.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not sad about it by any means. Everyone was. Begging for Howie to do it in like the second round. In my opinion, I'm going to get a lot of hate for this, but that's fine. I didn't really like his tape. I watched a lot of it because, He's a his name. And I wasn't really impressed. I mean, he's a little undersized at linebacker. He's only about 6 foot, 225. He's not great in coverage. He's not a great athlete. So I think he comes in right away and just offers you special teams ability. I don't see him ever being a starter at linebacker on this team. It could happen. Injuries happen for sure. But yeah, I listen, I love the story. I think the story is phenomenal, obviously. I mean, you know, Jeremiah Trotter is a legend here in Philadelphia, and you know, being able to draft his son is awesome. I think it's, you know, I think for the spot where they got him, I have zero problem with it. I love the pick. I think it's an awesome story. You know, not in love with the player, but hey, it's fifth round. I really don't care. Again, you know, you lose some guys on special teams. I think he offers you immediate special teams value. If he can develop into a starter, I think that's phenomenal. But wasn't in love with his play in college.
Fly, Eagles, fly, bro.
Hey, man.
Fifth round, pick number 172, Trevor Keegan, guard out of Michigan.
Yeah, kind of just, you know, depth at line, not the offensive line, you know, brings you a winning pedigree coming from Michigan, and just offers you a nice depth. Has the size to play tackle, but probably will play more guard in the NFL. I mean, he played guard in college, but has the size to play tackle. I don't know if he ever played tackle in college, but probably will play guard in the NFL. And again, just offers you a nice depth. You know, lost some guys, lost some backups to free agency and all that. So just a nice depth piece right away.
Round six, pick number 185, wide receiver, Florida State, Johnny Wilson.
Yeah. Talk about two ends of the spectrum, man. We got Anais Williams, who's like 5'9", and then Johnny Wilson, who's about 6'6", 6'7", even. I mean, just
you fell for the Williams curse. His name's Smith.
Oh, Anais. Yeah, I said that to my dad, too. Anais Williams. Yeah, he was a – okay, so if you don't know who Anais Williams is, he was a corner for Tampa Bay and another team. I think maybe the Rams, too, but – yeah, I keep saying Williams. It's Anais Smith. I'm sorry.
But yeah, you used two ends of the spectrum there. Go ahead.
Anais Williams is also a Hall of Famer. But yeah, Anais Smith is what I meant. I'm sorry. And then Johnny Wilson, who's like 6'6", 6'7". But yeah, I think he could stick at receiver. There's a lot of people saying he might move to tight end. I mean, he's also like 230 pounds, so he could do it. I think you could stick him at receiver. I mean, he's a typical, you know, outside receiver. He's not going to play the slot. You could put him in the slot. He could be a big slot. But at 6'6", ideally you'd like him out on the outside. So could just be, you know, I mean, I like the pick. I like the player as well. But probably right away, maybe just like a fifth receiver on the team, and then maybe even our sixth receiver on the team. But could move the tight end as well. We'll see what happens there.
All right. And then we have, I believe it was pick 190. I deleted it by accident. Let me see if I can get that back.
I think it was
Dylan McMahon, yes. Center, North Carolina State.
Yeah, I like this pick a lot. I think this one more than some of the other ones. This guy could be a starter for you eventually. I think if Cam Jurgens, you know, for whatever reason, I think he'll be fine at center, but for whatever reason doesn't play well at center, I think eventually you could put McMahon there and he could be a starter for you. I think he's a really, really good athlete. Again, I'm not saying he's Jason Kelce, but he's a good athlete like Jason Kelce. And if you're in a room with Jeff Stoutland, you're going to be taught how to play the position. So, I think he has really good potential. Again, if you come in and are a good athlete, that's all Jeff Stoutland needs to develop you. And God, look at Jordan Mailata, and I mean, look at Jason Kelce too, even. So, if you're a good athlete like he is, I think you could end up with a starter eventually down the line in Dylan McMahon. I really like him a lot.
Like you said, if you give if you gave someone to Jeff Stoutland,
yep,
who's probably played football very minimum in their lives, I trust him to make them a near all-star, if not better than that.
Yep.
So that's just saying how much faith I have in him. But speaking of the line, there was also a signing the day after the draft. Mekhi Becton.
Oh, yeah, we did get him.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yep.
1 year, $5.5 million, I think.
I mean, yeah, I love it. I totally forgot about it, too. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I love it. I love it. I think he, I mean, obviously, former first-round pick.
Injury concerns.
Yeah, has dealt with injuries.
He but, has the potential. Like, the potential was never a question. It really is just the injuries.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I'm, like, that's why I'm excited. Because, again, you're giving Jeff Stoutland a really good athlete. I mean, he's huge. He's a mammoth human being. But still a really good athlete for his size. Again, that's all you need for Jeff Stoutland to make you good. Really. So, you know, it's only a 1 year deal. Hopefully they can keep him long term, because that could be your answer for Lane Johnson whenever he hangs him up. So we'll see what happens. I mean, he might not play right away. Again, he's probably just going to be your quote unquote swing tackle. If one of your tackles gets hurt, he comes in right away and then is your backup, kind of like Jack Driscoll was last year when Lane Johnson went down.
Yeah, so, well, we needed someone better than Jack Driscoll.
Yeah, and he's gone now, so.
Yeah, I know. I'm very happy about it.
You did all right, Jack.
Look. you had NFL talent, which he's means that, you know, you're good enough to be in the NFL. But
yeah,
in the sample size I saw, it was good God.
It wasn't great. But, you know, it wasn't – I mean, he was not good at times. But anyway, he's gone, whatever. But, yeah, I really like Mekhi Becton. Obviously, again, first-round pick. Former first-round pick. In my opinion, still has really good potential. Again, if you can – I mean, Jeff Stoutland, do your thing, man. keep going.
Yep.
I hope you never retire.
I leave it in his hands.
Yeah, so we'll see.
All right. And that wraps it up. So.
Another draft in the books.
Another draft down. Listening to names be called. Isn't it fun?
So much fun.
So much fun. Don't know why. Just a ton of fun.
If you told a person who, like, never watched a sport in their lives and they're like, hey, you're going to spend three days listening to a single guy, not a single guy, but listening to people announce names and tell them what team they went to, they're just like, what, why is that a thing? But I love it,
because it's the draft, baby. It's the draft. All right, now we have to talk about sad things.
Yeah,
the Philadelphia 76ers,
yep, are playing as we record this very podcast.
All right, I'm going to look up the score at this moment.
Okay.
Why don't you try to guess what it is?
Also, just got word that Boston Scott just signed with the Rams.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. A little sad.
Oh.
But anyway.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
No biggie.
Still love you, Boston. Giants killer.
Giant killer, yep. The giant killer. All right. But back to the Sixers. What do you think the score is right now?
I would say
there's 2 minutes left in the first.
I don't know. Knicks 24, Sixers like 15 or something.
19-17 Sixers.
Oh. That won't last.
Stop. And Tobias Harris has 7 points in the first.
It's over. We're not. That's not good. If Tobias Harris is your leading scorer, we're not.
Tyrese Maxey's the leading scorer with 9. But,
oh.
And Embiid has 3.
But oh, good.
He's 1 for 5.
Yeah. There it is.
Oh, God. And Batum and Payne are the only two who have checked it off the bench. Oh, joy. Everything's great. You know what? Just put Ricky Council in. Just do it. Screw at this it, point, just let him in.
What do you actually have to lose?
What if we have the Ricky Council game? Dude. He just goes off for 40.
Yep, I'm in.
Come on. We had a Shake Milton game. We could have a Ricky Council game.
Yeah, we had a Shake Milton game, and we still lost that series. So.
Yeah, we did. I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
But, yeah, look, this they've been out-hustled. They've been out-balled. They've just been they're not fighting with the same intensity.
No. Yeah, outworked. Outworked is the only word I can use.
Yeah.
By every really, any stretch of the imagination. Yeah, they want it more. They do. I mean, you know, defensively, it's just, you know, they just play with more intensity. You know, they go after every rebound. Yeah, the Sixers just don't seem to care about rebounding.
They've been outboard at and very pivotal yep. moments too. It's just,
and they go on these cold streaks in pivotal spots in these games. You know, and they can't Embiid, close the game out.
Embiid had like 2 points in the fourth quarter, and it was yep. like the very end. That cannot happen.
They can't close games out. They just don't know how to do it for whatever reason. I don't know what it is. Embiid gets – and also Embiid gets very, very careless with the ball as well. So, yeah, I mean, they just can't. They – I don't know.
Again, I don't know how the series is going to go, but it's a tough road back from down 3-1. So
– well, the series is going to go, they're going to lose. That's how it's going to go.
Okay.
I mean, listen, I don't want to be this guy, but I'm just being real, you know? I mean, they're leading right now, but it's early. And, you know, even if they win this game, like you said, they'll probably just go home and get blown out at home. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't see them coming back from 3-1 down. They could, but I don't see it.
Well, when you say home, you mean Madison Square Garden version 2, right?
Well, yeah, of course. Yeah, because, you know, Wells Fargo Center apparently doesn't exist anymore. So yeah. But I'm sorry to be this way. Like, it's just they've given me nothing, you know, positive to say. They've given me no thing to look at and be like, okay, I can point to this and they're doing it well. They're just not. They're not doing it. So I'm just trying to be real, and it's unfortunate. It really is disappointing as a fan to watch how they played. It really is.
Well, they could, you know, they could surprise us. They could.
And I said this last week, I think, just NBA in general is just, it's getting to a point where it's hard for me to watch anymore. It really is. You know, just how the game is played. The refs are a big part as well. I hate to say that, but they are. They all decide a lot that. Of games.
I feel like the game has evolved in a bad way where
yeah.
you don't see different schemes. You see shots from just the corner and maybe a drive, but you don't see any mid-range jumpers for the most part anymore. Only the elite players do that. No one else really is. There's so many more three-pointers where it's like you're just hucking it up. I don't know.
A lot of teams, it's the three ball. And if it doesn't work, you don't see teams adjust. You just see teams continue to chuck the ball up and try to get the three. Like, when something doesn't work, you have to adjust. And I just don't see it anymore. They come up with a plan. They try to execute. If they don't, they go down with the ship. So I just don't like how the NBA has evolved. I don't like the way it's going. It's really hard for me to watch. I'm, you know, once the Sixers are most likely out, I mean, again, they could shock us, but I mean, I haven't been watching the playoffs at all. So, you know, I mean, game two for me was really bad. I mean, that affected me the most, I think. Just everything that happened, you know. I think Embiid got hurt in game one, I think. Or was it game two? I don't remember.
Yeah, Bell's palsy. Let's add that to the list of
crazy. Yeah, Bell's palsy. I mean, it's not a huge deal. But of course, Embiid has it. I mean, why wouldn't he?
Yeah, no, it's more like a this franchise.
It's a salt to the wound.
Cursed, right?
Yeah, no, it is. It really is. I mean, it's just adding salt to the wound. It really is. So that's where I'm at with basketball. Again, I will always be a Sixers fan till the day I die. But it's getting really difficult for me to watch NBA. I mean, I just get mad, and I can't. I'm just not going to do it. It's not worth my time.
Look, I mean, this year I haven't watched much basketball. I guess that's saying something. I don't know what it is exactly. I couldn't tell you.
It's not enjoyable.
Yeah, that.
I don't get enjoyment out of watching basketball. Football is number one. I get enjoyment out of watching football all the time. Maybe that's fantasy related because, you know, fantasy is awesome. But even if I played fantasy basketball, which, one, isn't fun, but even if I did, I still wouldn't get enjoyment out of it because, again, it just makes me mad. But I get more enjoyment out of baseball.
Yeah, I don't know. There's definitely a shift going on, I think.
Football by far is number one to me, like in America. And I think baseball might have overtaken NBA. There's still some diehard NBA fans that are really toxic on Twitter.
Yeah, they're psychopathic on Twitter. Do not say anything about a certain team that resides in a city in Florida that begins with an M as in Mary. Don't do it.
That has Jimmy Butler on the team.
I'll neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
But if you said, wow, this player really stinks 4 years ago, they will find it. And they'll probably also find your home address and your dog's name.
We'll send the FBI.
They are the FBI.
Mm.
Oh, see?
Wow.
I'm just joking. But
nobody's serious.
Yeah, they're a little out there.
But there's some there is some insane NBA fans.
If you're on
Twitter, X, whatever, just be wary, be careful out there.
Yes,
and it's an interesting place.
There are the trolls. Look, the NBA has the best trolls. Their trolls are funny. 99% of the time, they're funny.
Yeah.
But
it's annoying when, like, we lose, though.
I know.
And they just keep crapping on us. But, yeah, but
at this point, aren't we so used to it that it's kind of like you're beating the dead horse at this point.
It's bad when, like, you see, like, a meme of, like, making fun of, like, the Sixers or whatever, and you agree with the meme. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, I've been there. All right. Moving on, the Phillies. They suck. They're the worst.
Terrible. Worst team ever. Terrible. Yeah.
Awful. Just terrible. Just horrible.
Yeah. Not much to say, really.
Actually horrible, Sir Anthony Dominguez.
Oh, my God. He's the best pitcher in the league.
He's really good.
Just phenomenal. Him and Nick Castellanos are just playing, like, MVP levels right now.
They should go frolicking in a field together. Because
You should just give them... They should just be Hall of Famers right now.
The aura that is surrounding those two players is just the most palpable thing I've ever seen.
Yep.
It's great.
No, they suck. Truly.
Yeah, truly.
They're awful.
They're so bad.
Sir Anthony, every time I look at the box score, Sir Anthony gives up at least two runs.
I feel like Sir Anthony Dominguez goes up there and just yucks one into the dirt.
I think he has like a 9 ERA.
It's so bad.
He's like a 9 or 10 ERA.
Oh, my goodness.
And Castellanos is still batting, what, like 175, 180?
I can confirm momentarily. You're just going to have to bear with me.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I mean, I don't know what you do with Castellanos. Just horrible. Horrible stuff. Yeah. Again, every time I look at the box score, 0 for 4. It's just, you know.
Yeah, Nick Castellanos is hitting 173.
Oh, my God. It's even worse.
Sir Anthony Dominguez has a 9.58 ERA.
Come on, man.
Heading into May. I mean, Bryson Stott's at a 221 too. That's not too good.
No, it's not. He's off to, but he had that big game the other day. But yeah, it's, I don't know what you're supposed to do with Castellanos. I mean, he keeps putting him in the lineup. I mean, I guess you have to at this point, but I don't know. I think you might maybe give him some days off and just see if that helps him. I don't know. But yeah, other than that, the lineup's been good. Schwarber. I know his average isn't great, but he's actually not doing that bad. So
Kirkring's back.
Kirkring's back.
Soto has been questionable.
Yeah,
he's either been really good or really bad.
For the most part, the bullpen's been solid. Other than Soto and obviously Sir Anthony, I think those are the two biggest ones. But Hoppin's actually been pretty good. Alvarado has been okay. Kirkery's been fine since he's been back, but in limited action, so I'm not gonna, you know, say anything about him.
With the starting rotation, I mean, Sanchez had his worst outing.
He did, and Walker gave
up four runs. I mean,
Walker in his first start back wasn't too good, but other than that, I mean, Wheeler's been unbelievable. Nola's been unbelievable. Suarez is friggin' Cy Young candidate. And Turnbull's been phenomenal as well. So, and I'm glad. I think
they pulled him from the rotation.
Yeah, no, they did pull him, right? Because
they pulled him for Taiwan Walker.
Yeah, because is Wheeler going tonight for them?
Let me
check. No, it is Turnbull.
Oh, they're starting Turnbull?
Yes. Okay, good. I thought it was Wheeler too, but it is Turnbull. I'm looking right now. Let's go.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's good. Well, also, side note, we're playing the Angels, and Mike Trout tore his friggin' meniscus. That guy cannot catch a break. Good God.
No, he's just he's injury prone.
Yeah, it's a shame.
All injury prone.
That is really a shame. But yeah, Turnbull's going tonight. Nice. Okay, hopefully they keep him in there. I'm fine with them going six, but I think you told me that Wheeler's not really a fan of going six. But if they do, I'm fine with it because, again, Turnbull's been really, really good.
I wouldn't be privy to that information unless it's last year. And it was said, and I told you that last year, and I read it, and I'm just
forgetting. Maybe that was it. Or my dad told me.
No idea. Your dad might have. I have no. Yeah. I don't remember telling anybody that one.
Okay.
That seems like just one of those random access memory facts that I would have, but I would be able to tell you.
Yeah. Well, someone told me if it wasn't you. Probably my dad. Shout out to my dad. But yeah, if they go 60, I think that's great. I think because, like I said, Turnbull's been really, really good, and he's going.
Or you just said that's a good stop time. Starting Taiwan Walker if he gives up six
or that. Time. Yeah. Or Sanchez too, because if he stinks, then he can get.
Look, I'd rather Sanchez go five innings and give up three runs than Walker go six innings and give him 12.
Well, yeah,
I'm exaggerating. Yeah. But also, with his first start back, I'm not going to sit here and kill the guy. But
yeah,
let's keep an eye on that one.
Definitely,
and then. I really don't have anything else to add.
Yeah. Lineup's been good. Turner's been phenomenal. Alec Boehm has been unbelievable. Like, truly. So that's awesome. That's really all I got for the Phillies. I mean, they're playing well right now, so that's a great sign.
And on that positive note, I think we've reached our destination for the day. We'd like to thank you for listening to the Philly Bandwagon Podcast. Go to phlsportsnation.com for all your Philly sports wants, needs, and desires. Go to the podcast app. Go to the PHL Bandwagon. You can find us on Spotify there. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are available. We're most likely there. If not, shoot us an email at phlthebandwagon@gmail.com with a platform of your preference, and we'll try to get on there. We also have mailbox questions open. Shoot us an email at phlthebandwagon@gmail.com. We also take mailbox questions via X. Our DMs are open, and that's at the PHL Bandwagon. You can follow me at PHL Ryan Michaels. You can follow Chip at PHL Chip Tiernan. We also share weekly polls, so feel free to engage there. We really do like to hear from the fans, so please let us know. We share our episodes weekly on Facebook, but we don't share the polls there because their polling system is hot garbage. Go to the Wake Shop, get your TBW merch, hoodies, hats, t-shirts. You know, summer's coming up, sun's out, guns out, get a nice t-shirt. And if you see two burly bearded gentlemen come up to you because you have a TBW shirt on, yeah, what's up? It's us.
That's us.
That's us. That's us. But at this point, we've reached our destination. We'll see you at the next stop. Go Birds. Please, for the love of God, go Sixers and go Bills.
Yeah. Rip the Sixers.
Stop.